Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm El Fakador Laurie Blake and I'm joined by Chopper Pete Cornell.
Hello.
Today we're talking about NXT. We'll be talking about some of the backstage rumblings of the meetings within meetings within meetings. What happened on the show, as well as some of the new signings like Killer Cross and Timothy Thatcher. Here it is. There's been a lot of it. There's been a bunch of, no, don't you say this to the dead. What do you mean? You've already told them. they've either got some really impressive leakers in NXT, getting out all these stories about like the meeting post Matt Riddle, the meeting about that meeting being leaked, the meeting about that meeting being leaked, and then a bunch of other stuff. They've either got that, or they've got like someone is outside the walls of the performance center, one of those like big cone things.
I was gonna say with a glass on the door.
I think they're saying that he's calling out Brock Lesnar, but it might be Cock Lesnar. I don't know. It could be anything.
Could be anything at this point. Yeah.
Well, so that's one of the things we'll be talking about. We'll also be talking a little bit about some of the new signings to the Performance Center.
You've got your
Killer Crosses, your Timothy Thatchers. Depends if they are going to go to NXT, but these are the two big bits of news. And then there's also been a bunch of stuff on NXT this week, like the Velveteen Dream returning.
Ah,
if you happen to be watching the video version, by the way, you can click links in the description that will give you time codes to jump to those stories. But let's get into things first.
Yes.
With a recap of what happened on this week's NXT. A quick bit of results. So, Angel Garza, fresh off of concreting Rey Mysterio on Raw.
Yeah, which was awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Came in and bricked Isaiah Swerve Scott, who was the man who got pinned in the cruiserweight match at Worlds Collide. So Angel Garza picks up a bit of momentum, seemingly heading for this Zelina Vega Enterprises, whatever you want to call it, thing.
I don't know whether he's just going to be on Raw just while Andrade is out, or whether that's more of like he'll just do both NXT and Raw because he's cool and he can do that. I don't know.
I hope it isn't just we've swapped in a guy Andrade. And it's another Mexican.
Hey,
here you go.
This Latino division on Raw.
Welcome to WWE. It doesn't matter. If you're Mexican, you're interchangeable. Rey Mysterio is the only one who's not.
Yeah.
Until we get Dominic. When Dominic gets a mask, then all bets are off. He can come in any time. Dominic Dijakovic also defeated Killian Dane to it wasn't a number one contenders match, but he's now beaten the other two people who are really big in his division, meaning that he is now the number one contender to Keith Lee's title. So that was made official. He beats Killian Dane with a feast your eyes after countering a Vader bomb. And then he's now magically number one contender. That's happening at TakeOver Portland.
Which I can't wait for. I'm so excited for that match.
I think it's
so good.
I think it's going to be really, really good. I'm really excited to see what they're like. You go out there and have the full match. Mm. This is, what's the pay-per-view version of that match that they did in like five different bits?
I know.
What's the 1917 one take version of that 4-part match you've already done? That's what I want to see.
Exactly. It's just going to be all the matches they've had, but back to back.
Exactly.
It's going to be really long. Yeah, it's going to be like an hour.
The director's cut. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be like watching Lord of the Rings back to back. Mercedes Martinez also beat Casey Catanzaro in a weird little match.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it? Catanzaro got a video package and then Mercedes Martinez was like,
she used to be a ninja warrior. Yeah. I've killed her.
it was ridiculous. Not a ninja anymore, is she? Yeah.
Jordan Devlin bested Tyler Breeze as well, to not for the Cruiserweight title, but as his sort of like, I am now the Cruiserweight champion. Here's my first match on NXT. I intend to be defending it, I guess, across NXT, NXT UK, and 205 Live, which is still a thing.
How is it still a thing?
If you're marking on your calendars whether or not 205 Live is still a thing, at this moment in time, still a thing. Who f***ing knew? Not me, I didn't know. And then for the main event, it was, and this was set up earlier in the evening because the Undisputed Era was sort of brawling around outside looking for Ciampa. They cut someone's hair, they put Kushida in a bin. They seemingly took Bronson Reed out with one shot because he's the Shotzi Blackheart this week.
Yep.
And then they ended up in a 6-man tag match with Ciampa and the Broserweights. Mm-hmm. And it was Cole, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. Match goes to a DQ. The Broserweight Ciampa team wins because Roderick Strong gets involved. However, getting involved summoned the Velveteen Dream, who I don't, like he appeared like a sort of purple tinted Jesus, like
just on the top rope, like I'm here now. He came in and ran rampant. I completely lost my words there.
He ran so rampant he lost his trousers.
Yeah, his trousers did not want to come off. It's like he had to actually physically rip them. He was like, I thought someone told me these were going to be tearaway pants.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh God, and he had to fight with
them. Well, my favourite bit was the bit where he was like, he was ripping them from the crotch. Clearly there was a pre-worn hole in the crotch through which to rip the trousers.
Yes.
So he goes to the crotch and he goes to rip the trousers. And then because they're not quite ripping the way he wanted them to, because I was imagining, he was probably imagining sort of like a penis Hulk out, is what I think he was thinking. Like, it's like Hulk, it's like when Hulk does it, but with my dick.
Yes.
And he goes like this and it doesn't quite go. So he goes, and I've never seen anyone do this before. He goes, I'm going to take the elastic waistband of my trousers, and to get it off, I'm going to put it over my head.
Who does that?
We'll loop back around to some of that stuff in a minute. Let's talk about now the sort of, I guess this is the interesting news that's come out of NXT as a brand this week. There's a lot, like NXT, obviously very good TV show. It's got a lot of storylines going for it. But I think NXT as the backstage third child of WWE is the more interesting development, because obviously last week we were talking about the Matt Riddle thing, where it's like Matt Riddle kind of got everyone in NXT told off because
he kept
being like, and I want Brock Lesnar. All the NXT end up in like an all hands meeting and they're told, don't call out main roster stars unless it's been previously approved, which kind of makes sense, especially like it makes sense in the fact that like there was an altercation between him and Brock, which I think is a bit silly, because I think Matt Riddle calling out Brock Lesnar has been a thing he's been doing for years, and it's quite fun. However, if you are then going to do a storyline in which Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley are coming face to face, maybe you don't want everyone just being like, yeah, and I'll take Brock, and I'll have Kevin, thank you. And me, I want a bit of Seth, thanks, mate.
Me and Fiend, right here, right now.
Exactly, yeah. So it kind of dampens the excitement of that seemingly, This is the one per mania kind of NXT star versus a main roster star match that you might get. So that happens. That leaks, obviously. Everyone's on the hotline to NXT just being like, so what's happening this week in the meeting? Well, they said this. That gets out. It gets out so quickly that seemingly WWE get annoyed and they're like, we're going to have to put a stop to this. They get hold of everyone for another meeting and they're like, oh, what's happened now? Is it that Performance Center video in which they let Matt call Brock out again?
Again.
Funnily enough, no, it's not. It's the fact that you're now telling, you shouldn't be telling the dirt sheets. This is reported by Fightful. The NXT stars were told, like, don't tell the dirt sheets what happens in the meetings.
Yeah.
That information is then immediately leaked to the dirt sheets.
And when we say immediately, like, immediately afterwards. Yeah, like, yeah. That was quicker than the first one.
They were on the phone in the meeting. Yeah. Like, and they're saying this, and now he's looking at, he's gesturing to get off the phone.
I don't know why. Yeah, it's actually hilarious how quick that was leaked. And yeah, it seems like as part of that meeting as well, the NXT talent were told to provide proof of their health insurance because WWE won't provide it. And then NXT stars got annoyed with them because they're like, you're telling us to not say these things on Twitter. Don't go and tell the dirt sheets. But also, you don't provide healthcare to us and we're not employed in the company. And yeah. Some people saw it as a bit hypocritical, according to
some
report.
Was that the second meeting or was that the third meeting?
I think that was the second one. That was part of the second
one. I prefer the idea that it's a third meeting.
They got them all back again.
Yeah, I prefer the idea that they did this one where it's like, don't talk to dirt sheets. So they leaked it all and then they called them all back in again to be like, and we just told you.
Literally, they leave the door and 5 minutes later, they go, right. Yeah. Back in again. Come on, class.
So Fightful were saying that like the whole thing spins out of this. The NXT crew had a meeting and they said, like, you know, what you need to do is you need to prove you've got private health insurance because we don't provide it. Because funnily enough, you're not employees, you're independent contractors. And now us as your not employer are telling you don't do things like this. It's like, and everyone went, bollocks to that.
What?
Like, you give me a proper contract and give me some healthcare and then maybe I'll respect your rules. I would find that, you know, annoying if I wasn't actually employed somewhere. Yeah. And they do everything they can to dodge around. You know, there's the whole blooming John Oliver pre-WrestleMania last year video that I watched again this week that's literally about WWE's attempts to swerve employing people so they don't have to have responsibility for their health and their rights, generally speaking. And then to turn around and be like, but also don't do this. It's like, well, if you got them under a contract, you'd have them under NDA.
Yeah, exactly. But they don't have that, and they don't have the authority to tell them what not to do. But then they also do at the same time. It's a weird environment to be part of.
Yeah.
And the NXT guys were not happy about it, from what the reports are
saying. I mean, it's one of those... You're never going to stop leaking in, like, you know... I think also because I think in the kind of leaking that happens in wrestling is, you know, there's the leaking of, like, we've heard that Edge is back. Someone said that Edge is back. They said they saw him. They said he's been at the Performance Center. They said he's been in Houston, ready for the Rumble. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's a lot of that leaking where it's like, it's literally just sort of putting stuff together. It's like, well, why would he be at the Performance Center?
Yeah,
why would he be visiting the doctor? Why would he be doing this? And then there's the leaking of like, yeah, so they were saying I might be doing this pro. Like, you're just telling your mates something, but then your mates know some mates who know some other people who then it all ends up at Fightful or it ends up at someone else.
Yeah.
That's the kind of leaking that I think happens in wrestling a lot where it's just like, he said, she said, and it goes down the line. And obviously somewhere in that, someone's added in Goldberg. Like, someone's just gone, and blah, 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 he's fighting Goldberg. That's what I heard.
Just Chinese whispers.
Yeah, exactly.
Goldberg whispers.
People just making stuff up. It's that notion of like people just like to escalate and make the story bigger. But also, I think in wrestling in general, remaining in the news cycle is part and parcel of being a independent wrestler and part and parcel of being like one of WWE's kind of, I guess, NXT talents as well, because you want to seem like you're a fan favorite. You want to seem like you could go elsewhere. Because that's when they're going to... Do you know what? Funny enough, that's when they're going to start using you. If you're the Revival and you keep asking for your release, that's when they're like, have a title!
Yeah.
We weren't doing anything with it anyway. Just have a title!
Literally take all of the money in the world, please, and stay. Yeah. That would be great, thanks.
And funny enough, people are normally already at the point where they're like, No.
Exactly,
it's boring. I don't want to be here. I want to go and do something else, like at AEW, and then I can pretend I don't have an eye anymore or whatever it is that I'm doing right now. That's
could go wear an eye patch and get whipped.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Kinky. Well, that, you know, AEW.
Yeah.
Live out your fetish dreams. That's why they've got a show called Dark.
AEW After Dark. That's what it is, really.
But it builds, but I guess, like, rumours and this sort of stuff, and also calling out main roster stars, gives you the ability to build a bit of, like, brand for yourself. And I think more than ever now in WWE, it's quite important for people in NXT to boost their own personal brand because they're not paid as well as the people on Raw and SmackDown, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
They do more live shows, so they are at a higher risk of injury as it stands anyway. If you're less important in the sort of... I don't, you know, WWE, I think, generally speaking, tries to look after people as much as they can. But like, they have made it kind of shielded by a lot of contract stuff. But you know, it's you have to get yourself up that ladder to feel important in the company and feel like you're not going to lose your spot if you do go out injured because you're doing all the live shows. Now, however, there's also the problem of, like, there are, WWE are doing less live shows.
Yeah.
Because the interest in the brand is, like, down.
Yeah.
So people want to kind of position themselves higher because you want to get merch sales. But if you're not doing as many live shows because there are less live shows, you're going to have a lower cut of merch sales, which means it's more important than ever to be on the live shows that they are doing, because that's kind of influencing your pay packet, I guess.
Exactly.
If you're immediately connecting with the fans and they're going, wow, that guy was amazing, I'm going to buy that t-shirt. And considering that all the current crop of NXT t-shirts are dog shit, you really need to be like, you need to be selling those things like mad, don't
you?
Exactly,
yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
But it is just an interesting situation in NXT right now for that sort of thing, because also you've got this whole don't call out main roster guys happening, and at the same time Charlotte Frippin' Flair turns up.
Okay, so she won the Royal Rumble this year, and she eliminated Shayna Baszler last, which I will never get over because that was really, really dumb. But then on Raw, the reports are it's still going to be Becky versus Shayna at WrestleMania, which would have made sense for Shayna to win the Rumble, but nice one, Charlotte. And then on SmackDown, Bayley was like, well, we all know Charlotte's going to come and challenge me. And then Naomi comes out, was like, oh, well, what's Charlotte going to do? Yeah. And then the reports come out that it's going to be Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley, and I'm like, what? No, no way. And then on Raw, Rhea Ripley came out and was just like, hey, Charlotte. I was like, I can't believe they're doing this. And then finally on NXT, Charlotte comes back, gets a hero's welcome back to NXT. And then Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair are like, get out of our house, you stupid moron.
Yeah.
Plunk. And just eliminate Charlotte Flair. It was great. It was a great segment.
What I liked about this segment is, like, the thing I've been ragging on NXT for a while in the lead up to Portland and Worlds Collide was that it was so unfocused in what they were doing. It was like every build was 5 builds at once. And then this is now like Portland, we were like, oh, brilliant. Last week we were like, great, now we're just building to Portland. We can all get excited and we can start to enjoy the idea that the Portland matches are happening. Wonderful. I know where I'm going. Like, I'm just gonna run up to this, sit down and watch it.
Yep.
And then they go, oh, and now Rhea Ripley and Charlotte at Mania. And I was like, oh, for Pete's sake. Because even on this episode, they kept being like, Charlotte Flair is here later, mm-hmm. people. You should stick around and watch the rest of the show. And yep. definitely don't go to TNT. Charlotte Flair is coming in the building, everyone. Charlotte Flair's coming. Charlotte Flair's coming. But also Bianca Belair's going face-to-face with Rhea Ripley. Side note. Sidebar, that's happening.
Also Portland, also but also that, WrestleMania.
But also Mania. But also Portland, but also Mania. This is important. And then... You get to this segment, and then Bianca Belair starts kicking off about it and saying, like, you know, Rhea Ripley's going out there challenging Charlotte when I'm about to beat her at TakeOver Portland. So it's not even going to be Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte at Mania. It's going to yeah. be me versus Charlotte at Mania. It's like, okay, you've clawed a bit of my interest back mm-hmm. now. And then they're like, Charlotte comes out and says, Bianca Belair, you're an amazing athlete. You're not as good as I am. But you need to stand over there while I talk to Rhea Ripley. Mm-hmm. Bianca Belair does this amazing sell. Like,
such a good sell.
Charlotte does that, puts a hand in the face, and Bianca's like, oh, no. And
no, just, she
yeah,
didn't.
Yeah, and stands in the background just giving it large as Rhea Ripley comes out. Rhea Ripley always gets to do her full entrance as mm-hmm. well. I never yeah. understand this. Everyone waits. Like, if people,
it's because she's got a cool entrance,
people
man.
Are like, people are like brawling. And like a lot of times people are brawling and her music hits and she comes out and she goes, ah! And everyone's like, everyone seemingly has stopped doing to be like, wow, that's a good entrance. And then she like gets down to the ring and breaks up the fight. But here she comes out and ends up in this face-to-face with Charlotte. And I really like this as well from Rhea, because you would assume that Rhea would also just be palming off Bianca Belair because she's so confident she's going to beat her. But Rhea's like, no. We're going to tear each other to pieces at Portland. But mm-hmm. there is a saying that we have here. We are NXT. And it's like the red mist descends on both Bianca and Rhea. They're like, and then the programming kicks in, and they're just like, "Maul Charlotte, she's not from here." Like, they just destroy her.
It was great.
And then they have the face off, and mm-hmm. I was like, "That's a really good way of NXT to be like, what is important for us is our pay per view next week, and not WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. That will be important." After next week.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll build to it from there.
I really like the sense of brand loyalty that they've got, because mm-hmm. it really builds off. It means that, almost means that Survivor Series kind of means something.
Yeah.
When NXT continues to be like, no, we're still NXT. We put NXT above Raw and SmackDown and whatever plans you have on Raw and SmackDown. Yeah. We don't care, because we're NXT and we're awesome. And what I like about all of these stories that they've got right now, and in general in NXT, is it's always about who's the best and who wants to be champion. And that's pretty much every story they've got mm-hmm. is, I want your belt, or I don't like you, I think I'm better than you. And that's all their stories. And when Charlotte comes in and says, oh yeah, we can fight at Mania, or, you know, all that stuff, and they're like, well, yeah, sure, whatever, WrestleMania, we don't care, we've got Portland coming. Yeah,
we're busy.
We're busy. We've got Portland coming, guys.
I can't even think about that till next week. I'm so sorry, Charlotte. I can't even.
My diary's just too full right now. I'll deal with you later. But yeah, to have Rhea Ripley just be like, sure, we can have our thing later, but me and Bianca, we're going to tear ourselves apart later. It almost paints, because Bianca's been pretty much a heel since War Games, it almost paints her in a more babyface-like fashion, which almost links into what you said last week of this being Bianca's last match on NXT, to show that she still has that kind of brand passion as well. It could lead to that kind of hero send-off at the end of her match, to then get the standing ovation from everyone, and then Bianca could go do whatever it is she wants to do.
It does make me wonder as well if they're just going to do like some triple threat at some point with Rhea, Charlotte and Bianca.
That because would be great.
Like, who also had the big run in the Rumble? Mm-hmm. Bianca Belair. Who did Charlotte tip out of the Rumble? Bianca Belair. Mm-hmm. Like, there is story built here to play on.
Absolutely.
And if Bianca is going up to the main roster, that's a really good reason to have her and Charlotte immediately go into a brilliant feud.
Yeah.
Up until like Elimination Chamber. Because you just go, well, here's the story. Mm-hmm. She's now got in my face on NXT and disrespected me and like tried to put herself in front of me for the championship, and you tipped me out of the Rumble, but I'm better than you. Like it's so perfect.
It's like an onion. It's got layers.
Yeah, I love
or
it.
Or like Shrek.
Another thing that was really, really fun this week on NXT was this big schmozzy, all-encompassing Undisputed Era versus Ciampa brawl thing that just took up the whole episode.
It was like, just non-stop, wasn't it?
Just like, they just couldn't stop fighting. They were just like, always fighting.
And then the crowd were just like, fight. And then they'll carry on fighting. They go, more brawling. Yeah. And then they'll just carry on for another 5 minutes. Even more brawling.
Yeah, it turns out that Adam Cole wants to corral them and go Ciampa hunting.
Yep.
Backstage, so I guess I don't know. Like, what they should check Johnny's house or something. I don't know how they're gonna find him. They end up like asking everyone. Their first thing to do was to ask everyone in a room, but individually. Like, yes. They were like backstage, and they're like, "Have you seen Ciampa?" No. Next, but have you? And it's like that he heard you.
Loud voices.
I'm sure somebody would speak as I've seen him. Yeah.
Yeah. There's four of you all saying the same thing.
And Roddy shaves a guy's head to be like, "Oh,
honestly,
I'm a meanie."
I popped for that.
That was quite funny. Yeah, I thought it was quite
just a random dude getting a haircut.
In catering. Like, that is a terrible mistake.
Why is he there?
He was in catering. Like, it's like, you're going to get flipping hair in the cakes.
I know. It's going to be awful. But then the guy was like,
"I don't think there's cakes in WWE.
I'm just getting a haircut. I don't know anything." And he's like, "All right, sure, whatever." But you'll walk off. And then Roddy's like, "Actually, you know what?" Walks back, grabs a razor, and just, screw you, man, for not knowing where Ciampa is, I guess. Mm. It was great.
I love him just being like,
so stupid.
"Hey, man, I'm just getting a haircut." I think he sold the stupidity of the segment very well, that guy. Then, they're seen backstage again later in the show, and they put Kushida into a bin.
Literally.
They literally just dump him in a bin. Adam Cole, Fireman's, carries him into a bin. They punch Bronson Reed so hard he dies.
Yep.
And then they get attacked by Ciampa.
Yes.
This leads to a big, takes over the whole thing brawl, where the bros awaits run down.
Takeover, some might say.
It does, yeah. It was a preoccupational brawl. It gets in a whole brawl, the bros awaits run down. Regal comes out and he's like, "If you want to fight so much, get your gear on, because you're going to do it at the end of the show." And then they just carry on brawling. He's like, "But we're already doing it, Regal! You're not my real dad!" And then they just carry on. And then they eventually get sort of separated. They get separated and immediately Jordan Devlin comes out. I love that as well. He was like, I like the fact he was waiting in the wings and all these guys get like pushed out past him. He's like, "And now my music, please."
Yes. And he's like, "Guys, I've got my match. Guys, I've got my match. Move out the way.
I'm the new Cruiserweight champion, guys." So they just get him. He comes out, and then the match itself, like the Undisputed Era, get jumped on the ramp. Mm-hmm. It all breaks down really quickly. They basically take out Roddy very early in this match. They triple team him, and then they chuck him off the ramp. So it is a fair fight. It's a 3-on-3. Cole's going to go for the last shot, and he goes to take his knee brace off, and then there's the big. Mm-hmm. There's just the big logo and the timings on the screen, and they just clock into place, and you're like, "Oh, it's the three-eyed thing, isn't it? It's
Dream.
Velveteen Dream."
Yeah,
and then he's got it turns into the really awesome logo they've made of him. Mm-hmm. And then I love the camera cut where it cuts to that like crane shot, and he's bathed in purple on the turnbuckle, and everyone's losing their minds. This was such a hot comeback.
It was great.
So into it. But I feel like I'm kind of disappointed that Dream's just gone immediately back into a thing with Roddy, because it's like, didn't we do that? Like,
I guess so, but I think it makes sense character-wise, because
Era
were the people that took out Dream, so it's good for Dream to get to, you know, deliver some sort of comeuppance to the Era.
And it's something for them to do next week as well that isn't a takeover match.
Mm, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know whether Dream is going to somehow be involved at Portland to ensure that the bros awaits win the tag titles, or maybe he gets involved with Cole so that, you know, he can have sort of even odds so Ciampa could win there or something like that. Or whether it's going to be maybe next week Dream wants to try and take out the Era some more, but someone else comes in and takes out Dream, and that's his next feud, is Dream kind of, you know, diverts off to with someone else, and this was just the momentary, doesn't it make sense that Dream's taken out the Era on his return moment?
Yeah.
Whether they'll actually follow up on that next week, I don't know, but yeah, I think even regardless of wherever they go, this in its own little bubble was a fantastic return.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, such a hot crowd, so into it. And it's great to see Dream back. And this means at Portland, we've now got 6 matches, and I'm really, really excited for all of them. Which is just, it's such an incredible
card. So we've got Tegan Nox versus Dakota Kai.
In a street fight.
We've got Keith Lee versus Dijak. Mm-hmm. We've got the Broserweights versus the Undisputed Era.
Yes.
We've got Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair. We have
Ciampa Cole,
yeah. And probably Dream Roddy.
No, they've got six announced. What's the other one? What's the one we've not mentioned? Finn Balor, Johnny Gargano.
Oh, of course it is.
Small match of Finn Balor, Johnny Gargano.
That one that we built to this week.
With the really cool interview. Yeah. I really like that
cool
segment.
Interview.
I liked it okay.
Skype.
Regardless, we've now got six really cool matches for TakeOver Portland, which I'm super excited for. We've got one more week of NXT before that, which is going to be the go-home show. I thought this show felt like the go-home show. Like, everything kind of felt neatly wrapped up in a bow. It's ready for TakeOver. And it's like, wait, we've got one more week. I have no idea what they're going to do next week.
More brawling!
But we're
going to put Kushida into a combine harvester. See you later, Kushida.
Going to upgrade it to a skip
instead of
a bin.
Yeah. Everything, but more to the max.
Yeah. But now we've got these really cool six matches. The other really big news from NXT this week was the extra signings of Killer Kross and Timothy Thatcher. Where do they fit in NXT?
I know.
They can even fit. Like, we've got, I think for the first time ever, we're going to have six matches on a TakeOver instead of five, because that's kind of the magic formula that TakeOvers have with five really good bloody matches.
There's probably
all
also
the time.
A cruiserweight match that's going to happen.
I don't know.
I think they're going to have a proper pre-show, like a proper kickoff
show.
That's live this time. Rather than pre-filming those stuff and then putting it out the next week as their NXT, I think they'll do a genuine like kickoff show.
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe they won't, I don't know.
I don't know.
I've not looked it up.
But regardless, though, whether they do the cruiserweight match or not, that's still six or seven matches of top stars that you've got across NXT. And now you've potentially got Killer Kross and Timothy Thatcher joining. Yep. And we've seen people like Io Shirai we haven't seen in ages. Candice LeRae is now just, you know, Tegan Nox's friend. Like, all of these really... the rent-a-friend. So now you've got all these really, like, top stars in NXT that there's just not enough room for. Mm-hmm. They've got too many stars, and potentially we might be getting Killer Kross and Timothy Thatcher joining as well. Mm. I don't know where they'd fit. I genuinely have no idea where they're going to fit at all.
Yeah, so you've got Killer Kross, who also, backstage reports were saying that when they spoke to Triple H, he was like, yeah, we're going to fast-track this guy. Mm-hmm. So does fast-tracking mean they're going to send him to Raw and SmackDown immediately? Because he's definitely got the look for a Raw and SmackDown.
Totally.
However, his real-life girlfriend, Scarlett Bordeaux, is an NXT talent who hasn't been seen. She was seen, but she was seen in the attack outside the arena, just there.
Yeah.
She's not been properly introduced. So I imagine he'd want to go to NXT if
probably.
That's the case.
Yeah, you'd
think I've got a theory about this, and I'll tell everyone in the predictions that we're going to do next week
for
TakeOver Portland.
Interesting.
But I've got a theory where he's going to fit in, because it sounds like if you're going to fast-track somebody, you're going to put them into a big storyline kind of immediately.
Yeah.
So I wonder whether he's going to be one of the new cruiser heavyweights for North American title. That magical division they've now built up where it's these are big guys who fly, and this is our division. I wonder if he'll be one of those. Timothy Thatcher is not just going to join Imperium.
I mean, he might.
He should.
Because, I mean, that's
just
kind of
do
his whole
what's
thing.
Good.
Yeah, that's kind of his whole thing is with Ring Camp and everything. So maybe they just slot him over on NXT UK, because there's almost certainly a slot for him over there. And especially if he hooks up with Imperium again.
Yeah, well,
that would be great.
I think if he could be an arm of that, like, you know, again, like, I think Imperium has the ability to be a more rounded brand. Like, you know, we get a bit of Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner every so often. We've had a bit of Alexander Wolf. We get a lot less Walter because, he's special, and two, he doesn't want to go to America very often because he don't like it. So, you know, Thatcher would be a very good, like, leader of... Mm-hmm. The American branch.
Yeah, that'd be really
something
cool.
Something like that. Like, I think he would fit in. Also, Walter posted an originals post, like an originals photo this week before, like just slightly before the Thatcher signing was announced.
Oh,
it was really
what a coincidence.
Weird. And it was him and Bartel and Thatcher. So that's like, I feel like that would give them a real kick up the ass, Imperium.
I think so,
even though I know, obviously, like, one of them is the UK champion. They don't need that much of a kick up the arse. But like, it would be good to see them become even stronger and like really dominant, because want to see that story of them being broken down by who's going to be, what is the thing that's going to take take them on. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's like some conglomerate of NXT and NXT UK. I mean, being like, we have to topple Imperium.
Exactly. And now that they've beaten Undisputed Era as well, I know Worlds Collide is kind of not in continuity anymore.
Well,
but...
Yeah, it was until the point it happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And then as
soon
as it happened, it passed from existence.
Mm-hmm. And magically, Jordan Devlin had the
NXT Cruiserweight. Schrodinger's match. It's like... If you're not thinking about it, does it actually exist?
Exactly, yeah. But now that they've beaten Undisputed Era, we know that, like, a faction can't take them out, even when they were, you know, 3-on-4. They were one person down and they still managed to do it. So I think, yeah, you're right. It has to be some sort of conglomerate of, here's all these really big top stars from NXT or NXT UK that can take them out. So, but I'm thoroughly excited. Wherever Cross and Thatcher go, I'm going to be excited. Wherever they go, I just hope that there's enough room for them. Mm-hmm. And, like, for example, I know, like, Keith Lee has been stuck in NXT for, what, nearly 2 years, and only just recently has he kind of broken out into the top star that we knew he could be. I really hope for people like Cross and Thatcher that they're not just kind of stuck in the wheels of NXT, kind of like a Damian Priest who's kind of, he's just starting to kind of find his own place, but for a while he's just been spinning and doing not a lot.
So well, when your brand's so formulated around who's the best and who wants to be champion, you have to carve out a niche for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're not doing stories about like, oh, I'm going to get involved in Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae's marriage, then there's not really room for that, because that stuff, that's the main event stuff.
Yeah, I know. So, I've actually got an email here from Eli, who I believe was supposed to email in for SmackDown, but I'm going to read it out now. It says, hey Pete, and probably Andy. Not quite. I emailed in just to say, I missed the D&D talk. It was fun and I like the fan interaction. Hopefully it can return. I think Andy would be a fan of the Ring of Grammarian puns. Also, have you seen that someone gave the Goose from Goose Game official D&D stats as a creature? I had a question about Brock Lesnar. That's a totally different subject. Assuming Drew beats him at Mania, where do you see him going? Does he continue to chase the title, or does he show up for legend matches / grudges? Thank you in advance and love the podcast. Thank you, Eli, for the email. I think Brock should become one of the guys that just turns up for big matches every so often. Someone can call him out, or he can have beef with someone, and he can come back and just say, I haven't beaten this person yet, I need to beat them because I'm the best, or whatever Brock can say. But yeah, I think he should just turn up for various special appearances.
Yeah, but just put him on the Saudi shows.
Yeah, put him on the Saudi shows. Put him at Mania.
Yeah, exactly. Just, like, give him, I think give him the John Cena role. Like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah,
give him the big, like, just put him against people that are going to bring out the best in him that he really wants to go in there against, mm-hmm. and don't make him appear on weekly TV.
Which apparently really wants to work with R-Truth now.
Does he?
Because of that one segment where Truth made him laugh. He's been pitching ideas to WWE to work with R-Truth. Yeah.
That's fun.
How crazy is that?
Yeah. So on the D&D front, I have seen the Untitled Goose Game stat block. We did it on ScreenStalker, actually, when I spotted it when it first happened.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
We got back into D&D this week. Haven't played it for probably about a month now.
Oh, really?
Bought some dinosaurs.
You bought some dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're doing like a, I guess it's a homebrew mm-hmm. version of Tomb of Annihilation at the moment.
Nice.
So it's like a Tomb of Annihilation, but been brought into our campaign and our world. So we're doing it in like that. I guess that little island mm-hmm. has been sort of brought into a part of our world. We haven't left the first town yet, and it's been multiple sessions.
That's good.
Because we've been buying dinosaurs. we raced some dinosaurs the first week, and mm-hmm. I won the race. I was riding an Ankylosaurus.
So you did basically the mini game.
Yeah,
you did the race mini game.
We did the race mini game for a while.
Yeah.
And then we went to a fort the other day and fought some trolls and stuff on the way, and then... Mm-hmm. Bought some dinosaurs while we were there.
Fantastic.
But like weirdly for us, we just didn't burn anything down.
Well, that's pretty good.
Which was good. And then we also got to the point where we were asked by somebody in the game, like, what do you call yourselves? Mm. And at no point in D&D so far has anyone asked our group mm-hmm. what we call ourselves.
Yep.
Like, we don't have a group name.
Yep.
So we were just pitching all these ideas, being like, well, I don't like... Luke was like, big bag of dicks. I don't know. Like, what's the name that we can actually use for this group? Because we were like, we had a boat for a while, mm-hmm. and we had to come up with a name for the boat.
Of course.
So we called the boat the Spirit of Treboram,
okay.
right? Treboram is the town that we first, the first big town that we came to mm-hmm. in the game.
Yeah.
And we got the entire population wiped out. So that's why we called our boat Spirit of Trevoram, because we accidentally got all the population wiped out in this town.
In honour of all those people you killed.
Yeah, so we were going to call ourselves, after a guy that we got turned into a revenant there, we were going to call ourselves Bernard's Revenants.
Nice.
But then we just decided to be called the Revenants instead.
Okay.
And with a silent Bernard. In honour of him. So that's my D&D story for this week.
That's great, yeah. I'm actually going to be DMing D&D on Sunday, which is the first time I've been able to DM for probably 3 or 4 weeks now, which is good. I'm very excited to get back into it, because there's a really big thing that they've got to, and it's like probably either this session or the next session, this really big thing is going to happen, and I've been waiting to do it for ages, and then it's like, oh no, can't do this week. I just want to get to this big thing. Come on, guys. But speaking of dinosaurs, actually, I've got a thing, because my campaign that I'm doing is completely homebrewed, ground up. I've built the whole world and all that stuff. And I have included dinosaurs in my thing as well. And I've got a...
why wouldn't you?
Exactly, because dinosaurs are awesome. And I've got a...
I'll dock a point if there's no dinosaurs in my overall rating of the campaign.
Yeah. I've got a competition that people can do every so often. It's called the Bloodstone Games. And they come in, it's a solo competition, so people have to do it one at a time. And they go and they fight a creature in like an arena, and depending how quickly they kill it, how much damage they take in the process, and how strong the creature is, they get awarded a certain amount of points. So I've come up with my own like scoring system for this competition and everything. It's crazy, like in detail. And they got to this one city one time, and I was like, oh, there's... They were asking, oh, is there any Bloodstone games going on in this place? I was like, yeah, there's a whole arena in this city where they do it quite regularly. And then they went there, and it was like, right, so you could fight this thing, or you could do the mystery option. And I purposely put that in there, because I knew at least one person in my party would go, yeah, mystery option. I was like, perfect. So they had, I think it was like, options one and two were like, I don't know, like a giant wasp and a saber-toothed tiger or something like that. And then one of my guys was like, yeah, I'll do the mystery option. And he went in and he kept, when I was describing these massive, like, thudding footsteps coming up, and they chained up the gate, and a fully grown Triceratops comes out and he has to fight him. And I was like, good luck. It was so good. It was such a good fight as well. And he took down the Triceratops to 1 HP. Ooh. And then he lost. And I was like, oh, it's so bad. But like, I just managed to make it so like he didn't die, obviously. I'm not going to have my dudes just die over a competition, but like... Yeah, it was.
I should
teach him a lesson.
Don't take the mystery option.
I know, yeah, but I've actually got one. I'm hoping none of my players listen to this podcast, because probably in this next session they're gonna have another Bloodstone Games opportunity. But it's gonna be very, very different. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be completely different to what I've done before with homebrew creatures and all sorts of
the Bloodstone Games stuff. Seduction Edition.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Got to shag a Triceratops.
But yeah, I'm so pumped for Sunday. I'm really looking forward to get back into it again. Yeah, that's pretty much my D&D stuff. I'm also creating a secondary world because I can. Just something. That's a long-term project.
Whole new world.
Exactly that, yeah. Which is going to be for my second campaign I'm going to do, which is much larger than the first world I've created.
Ooh.
It's great, yeah.
I'd love to hear about it, but not now, because we need to get out of here.
We do need to get out of here.
So thank you very much for listening, everyone. Ollie and Luke will be doing... I think they've probably already done the AEW one by now. There'll be the weekend one on Friday, which is the magazine show.
Yes.
And then SmackDown on Saturday too.
Yeah.
So lots to listen to. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening to this one, though. Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.